KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News, app.
I'm Mike Dubusky. We're learning more details about the nearly 100-page Georgia indictment of former President Trump and 18 others accused of a criminal conspiracy to overturn the 2020 election results. Former DeKalb County District Attorney Gwen Keyes Fleming has more on the RICO or the racketeering charges.
It's not something that a sitting governor could pardon immediately upon conviction. It's something that would have to run its course.
President Biden says he plans to travel to Hawaii as soon as he can, saying federal assistance is needed in the state following the devastating wildfires on Maui.
I've spoken to Governor Josh Green multiple times and reassured him the state will have everything it needs from the federal government.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams says asylum seekers need to be welcomed.
History is going to ask, what side were we on?
The mayor asking for federal and state help. This is ABC News. In Afghanistan, they've been celebrating in the streets, but Taliban rulers there, amid their satisfaction, face loads of domestic problems 2 years after their victory.
Call it the spoils of war. The Taliban defiantly parading through towns like Kandahar in their U.S. Humvees. People curbside are cheering them on amid a sea of Taliban flags on this, the second anniversary of the group regaining power in the country. These days, they're entrenched as rulers, facing no significant opposition that could topple them. As to any prospects of any change toward modernization, very slim. Tom Rivers, ABC News.
The Paris prosecutor's office has decided not to charge two Americans who were found at the Eiffel Tower yesterday morning sleeping off a drunken evening. The office tells ABC News a charge of trespassing on a historical or cultural site was dismissed. They had an entry ticket to the Paris landmark for Sunday evening. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. An Osceola school staff member is charged with repeatedly sexually assaulting a child. 21-year-old Trey Jensen of Dresser is a teacher's aide at Osceola Intermediate School. According to the school district, the assaults that Jensen is accused of didn't happen on school rounds or during school hours. An arrest warrant was issued Monday for Jensen by Polk County Judge Daniel Tolan. If he's convicted, Jensen faces a maximum sentence of 40 years in prison. A $1.73 million project to replace culverts and guardrails along Highway 8 from Ladysmith to Hawkins in Russ County begins this week. The work is scheduled to be done in October. Until then, there will be some single-lane closures and different traffic signals at intersections while the work is being done. A Minnesota woman is dead and another woman is hurt after crashing during a storm on I-94 yesterday in Trumbull County. The State Patrol said a 66-year-old Oakdale woman died and a 41-year-old St. Paul woman was hurt when their vehicle went off the interstate and hit a tree during a downpour. The crash happened near Osseo at 8:30 yesterday morning. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
located at 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis. More at vinaigrettemn.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
Georgia, Georgia. Hey, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt, Patrick here. Nice to have you back, Patrick. We've got a lot to get to today because of what broke last night in Georgia. And the first person I'm bringing on right away is going to help us break down the legal side of this. Jack Rice is our legal expert, and he's kind enough to join us today to talk about the charges in Georgia against Donald Trump and a whole slew of other people. Hey, Jack, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Well, okay, first of all, your thoughts as this came down last night. This was it was expected, but the first thing I heard a lot of legal experts say was, this is very thorough.
You know, this one's interesting to me because I've been spending a lot of time in Atlanta over the last few years doing a lot of work for Court TV, and so I have a lot of friends of mine who practice criminal law in Atlanta, in Georgia. And so I've been watching and knowing that this was coming. There's a lot of preparation in Atlanta, this coming out of this particular county. So this was really a big deal, and people knew it was coming. This one is different than the other three sets of indictments against the former president. So it's going to be wild to watch.
Let's start with, and if you don't mind, a little class for most of us, you know, laymen here, we don't understand this. This is falling under RICO charges here. Can you explain? Most of us probably remember RICO from the Batman movie or the name of the guy from Battleship Troopers, but Starship Troopers. But no, RICO, it's a very specific type of a lawsuit, charges against a group of individuals, correct?
Right. Okay. So let's go really, really, really big picture, and then we'll narrow it down. In the United States, there's really two different sets of courts. There is the federal courts, and then there are the state courts. And so they actually run parallel to one another. And sometimes you'll find that cases can be charged in one court or the other court. Now, occasionally, they can actually be charged in both. And so what you'll find is, think Derek Chauvin in the George Floyd case, right? Yeah. So remember how Derek Chauvin was actually charged in state court here in Minnesota first, and then he got charged in federal court, and that actually happened in St. Paul. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's an example of what can happen in state court and federal court, and those all are going on sort of all at the same time. Now, let's talk about what RICO is. RICO was established back in 1970, and what it actually stands for is the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. RICO was designed to go after mobsters. Okay. And that was how it was originally established. And typically what it was for were things like money laundering, bribery, drug trafficking, and that sort of thing. But this is really, Matt, how it was designed. It was designed to basically say, I want to go after the head of the mob. But the problem is the head of the mob isn't doing all these things. He's got a bunch of guys underneath him doing these terrible things. And what we want to be able to do is collectively look at the terrible things that they are doing and then tie them and wrap them around the neck of the mob don. So that's the idea of what RICO is designed to do. Now, as we were talking about just a minute ago about the federal versus state, now let's narrow down what RICO is in Georgia. And that's important in this case. So what happened in 1980, Georgia decided to have its own RICO law. So in other words, this applies to state laws inside of Georgia, and they're using their own form of RICO. And it's very similar in some ways, but this is the part that was important to me because I started talking to friends of mine who practice and have been practicing for decades inside of Georgia. The difference is that think of the RICO law federally, which, by the way, is extraordinarily broad and extraordinarily aggressive. The Georgia law is like that law on steroids. So what they actually did was they designed it with that purpose in mind. So what they do is it's broader than even the federal law. So now what you can do with it is it essentially expands what it is that the federal law can do by saying it applies to more than just certain acts. It actually applies to a whole set of specific crimes. A bunch of those are in this indictment against Trump. But more importantly, what it really does is it also includes attempts. So in other words, the idea of what you're trying to do, not just what you did, and then it does something else. The federal law requires something called continuity, meaning two different acts or more in concert that were designed to create a particular outcome. And it has to be done in a really short period of time. Now, the Georgia RICO law is actually different than that. What it says is two separate acts. And if those two separate acts can be used to get that ultimate outcome, not that they are or tied together or there's a timeline, it's not necessary. That is enough for Georgia RICO. This indictment against Donald Trump and the rest, there are 19 co-defendants in this case, and there's 41 counts. They are already saying they have 161 incidences that tie these two pieces together for Georgia RICO. Now, why that matters? It's the most serious charge. Mm-hmm. It comes with anywhere between 5 and 20 years to serve. This is gigantic. This is a bomb.
There's a point I want to get to in here in a second, but I'm setting this question up for you because, you just pointed out the difference between the Georgia RICO and federal RICO. I also want to point out the fact that the reason why this case exists in Georgia is because it starts in Georgia from their perspective. I mean, with the fake electors, with the people allowing Trump's people to break in and look at the voting machines in the certain counties and take that information, the fact that you can track back the orders coming from the Trump legal team, it really does kind of blossom from that. It's kind of a very good case of how you can start small and, see the full tree from, and how it blossoms from there and how it grows from there, because they just did start looking at this from the Georgia side but ended up finding a lot more there.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Matt. And again, there's another piece of this, too. And think of this from the perspective of a jury. There are some times when you're thinking about crimes outside of RICO and you're talking about what somebody did. What is possible is the ability to isolate those from one another and say, big deal, big deal, big deal. And so, in other words, what may end up happening is a jury could look at these things in isolation and say, what's the problem? The idea that you called the governor twice, Kemp. The idea that you called multiple times to Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, both in Georgia. And big deal. They in themselves, the problem is it's sort of like the analogy of an elephant where you say, oh, I look at one little piece of an elephant, oh, that's a snake. I look at one little piece, oh, that is the end of a tail, oh, that's a piece of hair. What is that? That it's hard to see the elephant. Well, the beauty of RICO from a prosecution standpoint is you get to bring in enormous amounts of evidence to create a full picture and then wrap it together to say, understand the extent of this conspiracy. Hence, we're going to use at least 161 overt acts by these people to show the crimes that were committed. Mm-hmm. But I should add, this is one interesting thing because I've been watching the coverage too. This is actually what is frequently and almost always missed by everybody I'm seeing nationally, is that there are 30 unindicted co-conspirators. These are the people who could have been charged, but they're essentially giving immunity. Or they cooperated and they decided for whatever reason not to charge them. But the point is all of these people are lined up. And all you need are two to get the RICO charge, mm-hmm. 5 to 20 years. That is the bomb that I've been discussing.
The Jack Rice, of course, joining us. Jack Rice Law, Jack Rice Defense as well. That's where you're going to find his law firm at jackricelaw.com. And, of course, best defense attorney in Minneapolis, St. Paul, hands down. Jack, have you gotten a call from Trump at this point? He's burned through basically every lawyer in the country at this point.
Dude, let me tell you what. The problem is right now is it's not just Trump himself. John Eastman, Sidney Powell, Kenneth Cheeseborough, Jenna Ellis, and a whole bunch of other people have been charged in these. Mm-hmm. So guess what? I don't want to be on the next docket with the former president. I'm real good. I'll just stay right here in St. Paul and do the gig that I'm doing.
The point I was bringing...
What things are offering?
Maybe one of those lesser Georgia people. The point I wanted to eventually get to here is that one of the first things I saw was analysis saying that Trump's going to try to take this to federal court because he's going to try to argue that this had to do with a federal case, and that's just that. What you've just explained to me is this. The RICO laws in Georgia are different, so you really can't just shift this to federal court because he's being charged under Georgia law, as well as also Georgia seems to be able to make the argument is that regardless of whether or not this was a federal case, this had to do with our state electors and counties being violated in that. And the fact that Trump was calling, you know, people and asking for votes, that ties in. But the real basis here of the crime is what happened locally. What is your thoughts? Do you think that there's a chance that, and well, I guess there's always a chance, but how likely is it, do you think, that the case, Trump will be able to convince the case to get taken out of Georgia and put into federal court?
Oh, I think they're going to lose completely on that. Okay. I truly do. I mean, there's your real difference, is that what the prosecutor can do is really focus in on what crimes were committed in Georgia, applying Georgia law.
Yeah.
Because remember, this is just like what we talked about with Derek Chauvin. The idea, is it double jeopardy that you can charge somebody in state court and federal court? No, it's not. Because you're actually charging them under different sets of charges. So you could even charge them with essentially the same thing, but you're packaging it differently. That is exactly what they did to Derek Chauvin. Mm-hmm. So he may want to do something like this. I mean, remember, the former president is now facing 91 different charges in 4 different indictments. We got New York City, we got Florida, we have D.C., and now we have these state charges out of Georgia. And by the way, again, if I had to be afraid of any of them, I might be the most afraid of the Georgia ones, because those are the ones that are in some ways... I don't want to say the easiest to prove, but they are actually going straight at the conspiracy and all of these people who committed them. And all you have to do is wrap them around the neck of this guy and say, Trump didn't have to do anything himself, but he's been so public in terms of his support of it that can make him the co-conspirator that takes him down, even if he didn't himself commit any of the overt ultimate acts.
Well, and Georgia also presents an interesting problem for Trump, where his whole goal right now is to win the presidency in 2024 so he can pardon himself for these other cases. He can't. The federal laws on pardoning do not apply to state charges. And so if this stays in the state of Georgia, this one's going to stick whether he wants to or not. And that's actually what I think he's most scared of.
Well, boo hoo hoo.
All right, good enough. We'll go with that.
I got you, my brother. That's my deep philosophical analysis right there.
It's spot on, too. Okay, let's look at the crew of co-conspirators here. The fact that these guys, I mean, I said this before, January 6th was a coup attempt done by the stupidest people on the freaking planet. And proof of that is the fact they left a paper trail or a digital trail, however you want to call it, fairly clearly between the top and the bottom of this whole thing. I'm glad to see this in Georgia because, in my mind, this is what we should see in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, all these states where there are the fake electors, them taking this seriously that someone tried to overthrow the government of the United States and they tried to do it with our state. How, you know, on RICO cases, you know, you get people to flip. You get some right now, people are starting to sweat and someone's going to flip here. If you get enough people to flip, it becomes a slam dunk on the rest of the way up, correct?
Well, that's exactly the reason. That's why it always works, because what you can do is you bring this conspiracy charge and then you start from the bottom up, but you don't really have to. In this particular case, they got 30 people lined up. They got 30, and remember, they only need 2. And here's the other aspect of this, is the Fulton County District Attorney, the DA down there, Fannie Willis, she's actually known. Again, I spent a ton of time in Atlanta in the last couple of years. I'm going to be down there in the next 2 weeks. I was just there about 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, whatever it was. And what we have is somebody who, in many ways, she really came into office using this. She's really good at it, too. In fact, there was one One of the convictions that she's dealt with, that she dealt with a ton on these cases, that was really sort of one of the things that brought her in, was something called Young Thug. And Young Thug was a rapper, but it has to do with an indictment with two dozen alleged gang members collectively creating this conspiracy. But that wasn't the only one. There were a bunch of other ones that she's done. So she's done this over and over and over again, where you take the collective efforts of multiple people and you show what each of them have done, and then you wrap them around each other like three or four or five braids, threads into a braid, to show what the conspiracy is. And that's exactly what she was so incredibly successful at. So she's trained at it. She's good at it. She knows this law like probably nobody. And she can come in and do that. That is what a good prosecutor can do. Mm-hmm. The president, the former president, can talk all day long about how seriously he doesn't worry about this, doesn't care about this. He's calling her racist, all sorts of crazy things. And yet, at the same time, he should be afraid of this one. Mm-hmm. Because this one applies to a set of laws that, frankly, I don't care who he brings in, and there are some incredibly fine criminal defense attorneys in Georgia. You're going to have somebody who is extraordinarily good for this, because when you don't have the evidence, you don't have the evidence.
Well, and in the documents case, it's interesting because the two guys in the documents case, Trump is keeping them right next to him basically the entire time that he's trying to keep control. He's not going to be able to do this. And I've always said, if I'm Trump, and I want to try to get out of this, the two that I can throw under the bus, well, maybe three, are Giuliani, Eastman, and Powell. Because those three show up in basically a lot of this stuff that's against him. And all of a sudden, one day, he can try to play the stupid dupe, and that these are the people that were directing things about it. And he might be able to get away with that because there is enough evidence, especially with Giuliani, of him trying to, you know, pull the strings behind the scenes. You know, do you think that Trump himself might actually, realizing that there's no way out for him, basically say, I'm going to try to throw other people under the bus?
No. I mean, I think he'll throw people under the bus. I mean, you know, history speaks for itself. You can take a look at basically anybody he's ever worked with. Contemplate he's going to hire the best of the best when he was president. And you can see what it was that he did to his Secretary of State, multiple Secretaries of Defense, anybody in any position of leadership, everybody. And you can go back in his history. So he's more than willing to burn anybody and everybody to the ground. But the problem that he faces in this particular case is the only relevance that he has is his ability to run and his ability to potentially win. And so we have a very old man who doesn't really risk the realities of a prison sentence, because I'm suspecting that he'll be dead before there's any resolution of the appeal process, even if he were to lose. But it would impact his ability to serve as president. And so when we think about that, I think his fear is that it's the fear that he will be irrelevant and the infamy that gets wrapped around that. And so I don't think it's going to help to say it was everybody else and not me, because I don't think you're going to see the DA in Atlanta, in Fulton County, let him walk. I don't think you're going to see Jack Smith turn around and say, we're going to let the president walk, because they want these convictions. And that's the problem that the president has. He was always able to turn around and walk away from the Taj Mahal and all the other bankruptcies he's had, because the laws allowed him to do that. And he was relatively scot clean, and he could just wipe his hands off and move on again. This doesn't allow him to do that. He becomes nothing but the irrelevancy that so many are seeking to make him into.
One last quick thing here. And you brought up the case in D.C. Trump just can't shut up. At this point, he is, I think, in that case specifically, and I could see it in any of these cases, he's in jeopardy of basically finding himself in contempt of court. We're down in a unique situation. We've never been in this case. You know, do you think a judge would actually get to the point of, you're endangering people, we're going to fine you, possibly confine you? I mean, is that even a possibility?
You know, I never thought I would see that, except for he just did it again to the judge.
Yeah.
Not for the first time. In Washington, D.C., and this is a federal judge. You got to understand, federal judges don't take crap. They really don't. And it's just the truth. And so that changes their willingness to do what they're willing to do. And I think what we're going to find is that if I think about what the president's doing, the former president is doing, and I think about this as a former prosecutor, I think about this as a criminal defense attorney for decades, is that there are times when I've been in trial and other places where one of the best things I can do to somebody who won't shut up that actually helps me is all I do is I say, what else? during cross-examination, during direct examination, when I'm doing crossing somebody who's my adversary and they're saying crazy, stupid things, my response is, what else you got? Tell me more. No. I want to hear everything else you have, because he is more than willing to burn the world to the ground in order to think he can walk his way out of this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the problem is I can't count the number of times I've had circumstances where people think they can talk their way out of these kinds of things. These are very, very difficult to walk your way out of just by talking fast and, you know, huckstering your way through it, because this is going to be a tough one for the former president.
Well, you're spot on. I mean, he'll burn this country to the ground to try to get out of this, and that's just the reality of it. But we get to at least watch the disaster happen, and I'm enjoying the fact that this guy is finally starting to get held accountable. JackRiceLaw.com. JackRiceLaw.com. Jack Rice is the best defense attorney in Minneapolis-St. Paul. If you need a defense attorney, call Jack, sit down, explain your case. He'll give you honest advice. He is absolutely the best. I stand by him 1,000%. JackRiceLaw.com for Jack Rice Defense. Jack, as always, we look forward to seeing you back on Court TV before too long, and thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
All the best. Thank you.
Take care. Jack Rice. Great. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. Come on back. We'll wrap up a little bit of what he has said here. And yeah, just spot on analysis of why Georgia is a big problem. It is indeed on Trump's mind. We'll take a break. Come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hi, this is Paul Metza. Thanks for listening to the Wall of Power Radio Hour for the last 5 years on AM 950. We air every Saturday night at 6 p.m. We have artists, musicians, private detectives, politicians, and more. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
You hear a lot about Rudy Luther Toyota's hybrid cars, but maybe you're asking yourself, are they worth it? Let me say from experience, absolutely. I have a Toyota Sienna hybrid, and the proof is in the gas tank. Before my hybrid, I was filling up my tank once a week. Now it's consistently every 2 weeks. I did the math, and my hybrid is saving me over $1,000 every year. And the Toyota hybrids are some of the most stylish and comfortable vehicles you'll ever drive. Now's the time to get a Toyota hybrid. Set up a time to test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about the joy of live fire cooking. Cooking over a live fire is the oldest and most basic form of cooking.
What's new is in the way fire is handled and its heat is managed.
It's easier to experience and enjoy the smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Chad Larson.
And I'm Joe Kirk.
Your hosts for Searching for Service. Tune in to Rotary's influential show and podcast, sharing touching stories of service locally and abroad.
We bring you weekly guests that connect, inform, and inspire our listeners on all things service.
We highlight diverse service opportunities that appeal to both Rotarians and people driven to serve in their communities.
Tune in Sundays at 3 p.m. or anytime via podcast. It's time
to stop searching
and start serving.
AM AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I'm going to break this down a lot more coming up here on the backside of this hour. And I should mention Patrick Cooligan joining us with Brett coming up here as well in a little bit here, too. So make sure you stay with us through the whole show today. Georgia is a really dangerous place for him to be. Because, I mean, okay, you already see in the documents case in Florida, you already see that he is, you know, using this judge that he has put in there. And I have zero doubt, and I'm sorry, that Cannon, the judge down there, I have zero doubt that there are communications between him, his, and maybe not his legal team and her, but his political team and her, kind of trying to guide her to get him off the hook on that one. The goal here is to basically, and like I said, this is a guy, and Jack said it, and I'll say it, he'll burn this country to the ground to escape. He is not patriot. He's not a proud American. He has always only been in this for himself. And he will destroy this country for his own machinations. And that's the truth. And shame on all you Republicans who are going along with this and acting as if this is just political. No, it's not. It's pretty airtight cases. And I'll tell you what. I'm going to take a quick break. Thanks to Jack for joining us. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come on back. I want to really take these Republicans to task because I'm going to explain exactly what they're going to do down the road when it becomes undeniable that they're going to try to revise their history of how they stood up to Trump at that time. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come back. Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
How does this sound? Doesn't this sound better? If you've decided to level your home and build new or to renovate, hire Better Futures Minnesota instead to take it apart by hand. Think before you scrap. Think of the energy and greenhouse gases saved when someone repurposes your old cabinets, fixtures, and lumber. Think of all the resources saved by diverting those building materials from the landfill. Better Futures Minnesota makes it happen for you. Hennepin County residents and public entities, funds are available to make the environmentally responsible alternative comparable to a typical demolition. For more information, check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. Or call 612-351-8650. And don't forget to shop the Reuse Warehouse in Minneapolis.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
The Park Tavern in St. Louis Park is your summer destination. The patio is amazing, perfect for you and your friends to grab dinner and drinks. Enjoy a game of cornhole while you indulge in the great food. The full Park Tavern menu is available outside. The Park Tavern also has live music on the patio every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and even some Mondays through the summer. Reservations are highly recommended. And if the weather does turn, the bowling lanes at the Park Tavern are always open and are spectacular. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, the perfect summer is waiting for you at the Park Tavern.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 80. Tonight, clear with a low around 63. And Wednesday, a chance for thunderstorms with a high around 89.
Don't just settle for what's in the cupboard. Elevate your meals with premium oils and vinegars from Vinaigrette. They offer the finest selection of extra virgin olive oils, balsamic vinegars, fused extra virgin olive oils, white balsamic vinegars, and wine vinegars. Vinaigrette is located at 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis. More at vinaigrettemn.com.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Trump throwing temper tantrum after temper tantrum. Why? Because he's finally, for the first time in his life. I mean, Donald Trump is the kid from A League of Their Own. Yeah, he is. the kid that started whining a little bit, and mom always shut him because he got a candy bar, so he learned basically if he starts complaining, gets a candy bar. This is a guy who has never been held accountable. And he is suddenly really being held accountable. The only reason I want to make sure we talk to Republican voters and I talk to Republicans overall, Republican politicians. Republican voters, he's not running because he wants to make America better. As a matter of fact, what I think he's going to do is he is running for office just so that the second he can get in, he is sworn in, the next day he pardons himself, and the day after that he resigns the White House and flees and runs away. Now, it becomes a lot more difficult with the Georgia case, and I'll talk more about that here in a little bit. It becomes a lot more difficult. But if he can manage that, that's what his... I don't think he wants to be president again, although I think it helps him out. You know, he used it to basically, you know, make a mint as much as the Republicans like to scream about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Burisma. The reality is they seem to forget, and or they intentionally ignore. How about I say it like that? They intentionally ignore the fact that almost on a daily basis in this country, we were hearing of special sweetheart deals for Ivanka and special investments for Eric and stuff like this that was happening with worldwide. The fact that the world leaders were basically buying out his hotel in D.C., It was the fraud amongst fraud. He's not there because he wants to make America great. And as much as we can criticize, you know, I think we can make some arguments about the two Bushes. Maybe a little more on W. I think W just was trying to be there for legacy. But when you look at Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, to a point H.W. Bush, to a point Reagan, but not really. I mean, Reagan had machinations. But Reagan, I think that he truly felt his machinations were the right ones. Carter, I'll skip those two clowns. Johnson, Kennedy, Eisenhower, for sure, Eisenhower. They all ran for president because they loved this country and they felt they could try to make it better. That the American people chose them and they said, you know what? I'm up for the challenge. Let's try to make it better. And this is one of the reasons why I kind of was critical yesterday of Dean Phillips is because, you know, Joe Biden has done a lot of good things. So if you're saying, and this is by the way, and a quick little side note here, is if Dean Phillips or anyone that says Joe Biden shouldn't run, what you're really saying is we need to put an age limit on the presidency. And that's what you're saying. But you don't want to say that because you don't want elderly voters getting mad at you because of that. But that's what you're saying. You're saying there should be an age limit, whether that's 70 or whatever, that you can't run for president after this age. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. I mean, that's a whole thing. And you might get mad at me and say, well, that's not what I'm really saying. It's like, eh, you kind of are. Because Joe Biden, if he wants to run for office again, he deserves to run for office again because you know what? He's been pretty successful. That being said, I'm going to move that aside. Donald Trump is not that person. Donald Trump is only there because he loves people worshiping him. He loved being able to call up the media and manipulate the media into covering what he wanted. Being able to say something outrageous on Twitter and basically becoming the lead story of the day. He loved it. He absolutely loved it. He loved the fact that he could basically go on out there and it's not like it was H.W. Bush or Reagan where they had these agendas in place. He just wanted to go out there and say, hey, Vlad, you think I'm kind of cool because I got a golf course? Aren't I kind of cool? I got more golf courses. I'm really cool, right, Vlad? Right, Vlad? I mean, it was just this pathetic attempt to look at certain people and get them to think that he was cool. He's in trouble now. Someone sent me a fantastic visual My friend Chuck, he said the average U.S. president has been charged with two felonies, and he shows the list of presidents, and the only president that's been charged with any felonies is Trump, and he has got 91. So on average, you know, he is the most corrupt, most inept, worst candidate in the history of American politics. He's a narcissistic man-child who basically has never been told no in his entire life. And basically, he will use racism and bigotry to get the racist and bigots basically on his side. So even the pseudo-light racist and bigots, he'll appeal to them because they feel as if he's preserving their culture. And so they'll fight to the death to make sure that he stays in power. He's scared to death of being held accountable. And so his entire argument right now in running for president is to basically pardon himself. Which, by the way, I didn't have a chance to talk to Jack about, is a real legal question on whether he can do that. That's why, and he knows it, by the way, and he knows that. That's why his screening process for the next vice president is going to be huge. That the first question he has is, when I leave office, if I have to, you have to pardon me. And that's going to be a prerequisite for anyone that wants to be his vice president, is that you have to carte blanche, pardon him for everything. But once again, the Georgia case is separate. I'll get back to that here. He's horrible. He's a horrible person. He's not. This is not a political witch hunt. This is not, you know, the weaponization of the judicial system. This is you guys basically invited, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer to dinner and are surprised he's starting to munch down, acting as if him eating one of the guests is somehow misunderstood by the public. As he screams, "I'm not really a cannibal. You watching me eat someone else? That's the problem." And you guys are like, "Yeah, stop watching him eat people. What's wrong with you?" I heard Katabu say this, and I thought this was pretty good. She goes, "The Republicans are so desperate right now to wave this away. What they're doing is bringing up arguments that it would be like, so Bill Cosby had some quaaludes. What's the big deal? So Bill Cosby liked to have drinks with women. What's the big deal?" So neither one of those is the problem. You're kind of missing the point. They're trying to boil it down. But it is interesting that the new narrative on Trump is not he's innocent, but rather, oh, he was entitled to think that he could steal the election. He was entitled to think that if he honestly thought he won, well, trying to overthrow the government of the United States is perfectly legitimate. So there is this very, very distinct change in how Republicans refer to him, that they are all now indeed saying, yep, he broke the law. But it's these Republicans like Emmer and Stauber and Fischbach and Kitzner who are sitting there, and he's not done anything wrong. He's innocent. That poor, sweet little boy. Oh, God. No. I just think of him like in a bonnet and a diaper with a pacifier in his mouth. Look at that poor innocent man at 70. Not like a child, just Trump today in the diaper, in the bonnet. And I shouldn't give him any ideas. But, with the pacifier sitting there. Look at this sweet innocent child. How dare you try to hold him accountable for trying to overthrow the government of the United States? Who doesn't like feces wiped on the wall of the Capitol? Huh? Communism. That is what the Republicans are left with. Just basically gibberish. Which is why I want to very, very strongly recommend, in regards to my message to the Republican voters, is simply this: he doesn't care about you. You're just dupes helping him try to basically get into office so he can pardon himself. And you are stupid enough to think that that's something, and it's not. Republican politicians, I get it. You're going to, when it becomes undeniable, and when, you know, eventually he does pass away, Jack made the point is that considering the legal system in this country is that the likelihood is he'll probably pass away before any final judgment is actually handed down and he'll have the chances to appeal or anything like that. And so he doubts that he'll ever serve time in jail. But we already know what you guys are going to be like when that does happen, because you're so terrified. Of standing up against this truly horrible human being. That right now your blind allegiance is he did nothing wrong. Hunter Biden. That's what you guys are. And eventually when this does go away, likely because as Jack sort of said, eventually, you know, he's an older man. Eventually he'll have years of appeal. So there's a decent chance he might pass away before there's any final judgment. When that does happen, sure, for a few days, you're going to be like, see this poor, poor little boy that was persecuted by the Democrats. And then all of a sudden, you're going to start changing because you're going to realize the vast majority of the people are done with him and his real legacy is actually starting to get realized by a majority of people, especially as the baby boomers pass away, too. And suddenly, you're going to be like, you know, I don't ever get the idea where you guys thought I was against holding him accountable. I clearly condemned Donald Trump many times during his, you know, during his time in office and afterwards in his re-election campaign. They're going to try to revisionist history this stuff. And you can't let them do that. They want, if Tom Emmer and Staubach and the rest of these Republicans want this, make sure that, you know, even when the guilty verdict is handed down, you're the one that was blindly defending him. You're the one that was saying, nope, nothing wrong, nothing bad happened at all. I mentioned with Jack, one of the things I'm actually very happy with in regards to this case is the length and the depth of who all else has been being charged in this case. And the fact that this case is doing what I wish some of these other states, and I'm looking at you specifically, Wisconsin, that this I wish you guys would go and hold this as serious as the Georgia people are, because this was an attempt to throw out that state's votes. Wisconsin, that's what happened. When they tried to send fake electors, they were trying to throw out the voice of the people. The people of Wisconsin chose Joe Biden, and they tried to overthrow that, not because they were right, just because they were sore losers. And I really, really wish the other states that had this, Michigan's doing a fairly decent job. I should give them somewhat credit there. But, you know, it really is just obnoxious to see, you know, states like Wisconsin sort of like, well, I think they've learned their lesson. No, they haven't. The lesson that they're learning is, yeah, we can do this and we're not going to be held accountable. Well, let's try to do it again. Let's try to do it again. The people who are being charged here, these the 18 other people who are being indicted. This is a beaut of a RICO case, by the way. The fact is that they're going after some of these state people. And like I said, I think this is what makes the case in Georgia so strong and basically prevents them from being able to strip this from the state and push it into a federal court is that you have these people on camera welcoming in these political operatives to examine election equipment. You have these people knowingly inserting themselves as the real electors when they knew they lost. And yeah, it's good to see these people being held accountable. Of course, the Trump officials that are being held accountable, Mark Meadows, Giuliani, Eastman, Jeffrey Clark. We've heard, I mean, Meadows being dragged into this one kind of is interesting, considering as well he wasn't in the one in Washington, D.C., that's what not there. Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis. Great to see Jenna Ellis now in trouble. Who tried to claim God's on her side. No. Mike Roman, Ray Smith. And it, like I said, you got these guys, you know, dead to rights in regards to trying to, you know, contact electrical, an electric trail back to the Trump campaign and the Trump White House. Kenneth Cheesebro. He's the Trump lawyer. Trevian Kuti, a publicist. She violation of the George Racketeer Law, conspiracy to commit solicitation of false statements and influencing witnesses. Harrison Floyd, the leader of the Black Voices for Trump. Robert Chaney, a top Trump lawyer. Stephen Lee, and by the way, can I tell you how happy I am to see his name here? In case you didn't know, remember who he was the guy who was going to, remember when they made up that lie that said that these people were taking ballots and bringing them in and stuff like this, and they named those two people? This guy was going to people's houses and knocking on the door, screaming at them at their house. Trying to influence witnesses. Now what's surprising is apparently this was part of the plan that someone, you know, clearly that Stephen Lee is somehow connected to the rest of these people and they're able to, you know, get him that way. David Schaefer, the Georgia GOP chair, Sean Still, a fake GOP elector from the alleged voting system breaches, Scott Hall. He was tied to the Coffee County breach. Misty Hampton, the Coffee County's election supervisor, who is on tape welcoming in these people to inspect the machines, which all, by the way, had to be thrown out and bought at taxpayer expense. Kathy Latham, who is, it's delightful to see her with 11 charges. A fake elector tied to the Coffee County breach as well. She was the one out there saying, you don't understand Georgia law. We can do this. Well, you got 11 charges against you. There's one person here that doesn't understand Georgia law. It's apparently you, Kathy. And yeah, maybe you'll flip because I tell you what, you got 11 charges on you, Kathy. Is that the most of anyone outside of Trump himself? Nope. Ray Smith has got 12. Giuliani's got 13. So there you go. There you go. If you want my prediction on this, you've got Kathy Latham has got 11 charges against her. She's in more trouble than pretty much anyone locally in Georgia. If someone's going to start doing some backflips like it's a Cirque du Soleil show, it's going to be Kathy. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Believe it or not, barely a month from now, the kids will be back in school. So while you're getting some fresh looks for your kids before they head back, make sure to get a fresh look for your home, too, with my cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Carpets, tile, rugs, upholstery, basically every surface in your home can be Zero Resified, so it's time to call the cleaning pros at Zero Res. It's also the height of the summer allergy season, so it's the perfect time to get your air ducts cleaned. Get that nasty pollen and dust that's been swirling through your air conditioner out of your home. This month from Zero Res, get 3 rooms of carpet clean starting at just $129 and take $75 off an air duct cleaning. You owe it to yourself, your kids, and your home to get the fall off to a good start. Call Zero Res today, 952-ZERO-RES, or schedule an appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Zero Res, backward or forward, spells the same.
The Park Tavern in St. Louis Park is your summer destination. The patio is amazing, perfect for you and your friends to grab dinner and drinks. Enjoy a game of cornhole while you indulge in the great food. The full Park Tavern menu is available outside. The Park Tavern also has live music on the patio every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and even some Mondays through the summer. Reservations are highly recommended. And if the weather does turn, the bowling lanes at the Park Tavern are always open and are spectacular. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, the perfect summer is waiting for you at the Park Tavern.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Yeah, it's interesting to kind of gauge who's going to flip in this case. I do want to make the point. Have you seen the pictures of Trump with the two other guys from the documents case and how basically they're on like a tether to him, that he is not letting those guys go? You know, it really is kind of scary. They seem happy enough, but they're quite literally being dragged around by Trump people everywhere to prevent them from flipping. And so that's interesting. They're not going to be able to do that here, although I imagine there's going to be a lot of pressure. Trevian Kuti and Harrison Floyd each only have three charges against him. Jenna Ellis only has two. Now, Jenna Ellis is already in trouble. I think she's been sanctioned legally for lies she said during the post-campaign era. And so she's already had that. But, you know, generally it's one of two. In RICO cases, it's not the mid-level guys that generally flip. It's the people that have a lot of charges against them or very few charges against them. And the reason why is that, you know, you can kind of get rid of, I don't want to even have to deal with this. And frankly, the longer they sit around, the more they give you a chance. Mark Meadows. There's a lot of people in the case, the attempted overthrow of the government case in D.C. who feel as if Mark Meadows has already flipped on Trump. Meadows only has two charges against him: violation of the Georgia racketeering law, solicitation of violation of oath by a public officer. I wouldn't be surprised if Meadows indeed did flip in the other case. Then this is just that's you're clearly easy where you're going to see him get caught there. Like I said, I think you look at this, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jenna Ellis flipped. I wouldn't be surprised if Kuti or Floyd flipped. But then at the same time, when you look at the people with a lot of charges, the lowest hanging fruit there is Kathy Latham, the individual. And that's the woman that you see on the images opening up the county elections office door to let those people from Atlanta who are there to basically, you know, either plant evidence or steal, you know, sensitive material from the voting machines into that office. She's got 11 charges. Like I said, that's a lot. Violation of the Georgia Racketeering, Influence and Corruption Organizations Act, impersonating a public officer, forgery in the first degree, false statements in writing, criminal attempt to commit filing false documents, conspiracy to commit election fraud, conspiracy to commit computer theft, conspiracy to commit computer trespass, conspiracy to commit computer invasion of privacy, conspiracy to defraud the state. Damn! Kathy's in trouble. Oh man. This is harder than fantasy football trying to figure out which one's going to flip first. I think it's going to be Kathy. She's in a lot of trouble. Kathy's in a lot of trouble. If I'm Kathy's lawyer, I look at her and say, we go in, turn ourselves in, and we turn around and say, what do you need from us? What testimony do you need? The thing about the racketeering laws in Georgia, they are jail time. So you're going to have, out of all these people, maybe five or six of them being able to flip and get out of the jail time. But not all of them are. So the question then comes down to, do you want to get out of jail time? Well, you know, your careers are already pretty much done. Don't get me wrong. You'll be going to CPAC and they'll be applauding you like, he's the Jesus incarnate. But the reality is yeah, your career is done. At least you can have a life outside of the big house. Hour two, that's up next.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place.
located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolette Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Find their hours and full menu at scottjamamas.com.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when it's time for me to get my service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyota's inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.